Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
All right, grab your Bibles and let's pick up today after the sixth day of the beginning of all things, when God ceased from his work of creating and looked back and said, "This is very good. He did well." Genesis chapter 2, let's look at verses 2 through 3. It says, "By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." Now the Hebrew word here for rest is also used in the Pentateuch to refer to the observance of the Sabbath day, which is also referred to, if you recall, in the Ten Commandments that we see in Exodus 20, verse 11. So here we see one of the earliest mentions of a significant spiritual discipline that is modeled by God himself. Significant for all of us. Now, over the past 3 weeks, our Team Taught Onward message series, our pastoral team has just done an excellent job teaching us about some of the core disciplines that don't just anchor us, they propel us forward to the future that God is calling us into. And as we begin this year, like we do every year, with 21 days of prayer and fasting, our trust in God is deepened as we pull closer to him. And we take these intentional steps that lead to lasting spiritual growth in our lives. It leads to resilience. It leads to renewal that each and every one of us need, especially as we step into a new year full of new possibilities. So we've covered a lot of ground in a short period of time, looking deeper at the importance of the spiritual disciplines of prayer and fasting, of study and meditation, and then just last week about confession and worship. So today our focus is on Sabbath and service and how those two disciplines are closely related. The truth is that when you make the choice to follow God's plan for rest, how you use your time, how you pace yourself, who you rest in, all of these things affect the service that you walk out for the King. You know, Harry Emerson Fosdick, he's a minister and an author from the early 1900s. And he wisely said, "If you cannot rest, you cannot work. If you cannot let go, you cannot hold on. If you cannot find footing, you cannot move forward." Now, the truth is, it really doesn't matter what you think or believe or value if you're not acting on those things. That's a very strong thing to consider. Your values are not shaping you. Your choices are shaping your life. As a matter of fact, Proverbs 2:11 in the first part of that verse says, "Wise choices will watch over you." So there's safety in the wise decisions, the right decisions that we make each and every day. And the spiritual disciplines we have been teaching you throughout this series are only as effective in shaping you if, and that's a big if, you practice those things, if you choose to practice those things. But before I get into it further, I want to invite you to a couple things that are coming up. One is our Calvary prayer night coming up on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And the next is starting next Sunday is a brand new 2-month book study series that I've really, really been looking forward to. Now, our prayer night is an all new self-guided format with different stations that we're going to have throughout the auditorium to help you in the development of your prayer life. And if you come on Wednesday night, I'll be here to introduce what that looks like, so you don't want to miss it. So when you come, you can do different things as they relate to prayer. You can receive prayer from one of our pastors. You can get prayer resources to help you develop in that part of your life. And you can pray with others. Or you can quietly come in the time that you're able to afford on a night like that and just spend some time in this holy place as we pray quietly together. Let's get some things done. A praying church is a church that's going to continue to walk in the ordered steps that God has for us. So I want to encourage you to join us. Now, our new series starting Sunday to come is called Peace of Work. Now, this is a chapter-by-chapter study of the book of Ephesians, which many scholars have called the most profound, mature, and unique of all the Pauline letters. This life-changing series, believe it or not, is going to take us right through to Easter. I feel like we just finished Christmas, and now we're already talking about Easter. But it's important to know that we are all a work in progress. And Paul encourages us that we were created in Christ Jesus. We are his masterpiece in the making. And in order to make it all work, he must be at work within every part of our lives, each and every day. So the big idea of this study of Ephesians is that the gospel should affect the way we live our lives, personally, in our communities, and right at home within our families. Ephesians is all about understanding our identity in Christ and how that identity shapes the way that we live. So come Sunday, bring your Bibles, get ready to jump into this study of Ephesians. You're going to love it. All right, let's jump in to today's teaching. Right out of the gate, I want you to know that you deserve a Sabbath if you work 6 days of the week. God's design is to work 6 days and rest 1 day. And that might look like five at the office and working one of those days at home. But if you work 6 days of the week, you deserve a rest. You deserve to slow down, and God has intended it to be that way. Now, if your life is a Sabbath, then you don't need any more Sabbathing. Maybe you need to start working. My predecessor, my pastor, Gordon MacDonald, it was funny, he used to jokingly say, whenever one of us were talking about vacation, like where we were going to go or when we were going to go, he would say, your life is a vacation. And for some of you, maybe your life is a Sabbath. Maybe it's time to balance that with the work that God has designed you to do. Because if you're lazy and you struggle to work, then maybe rest is all that you know. That's an imbalance. That's not good. But Sabbath is not just about being lazy. It's not just about getting more sleep. Sabbath is intentional rest and recreation to refuel you that you can continue to do the work God has called you to do with purpose. I believe work gives you dignity. It gives you purpose. It gives you a sense of contribution. Believe it or not, work refreshes you. You were designed to work. You know, my dad modeled for me what it looked like to work hard with purpose, not always to be watching the clock, waiting to run out the door. He taught me what it looked like to make a difference in my world, to provide for my family. But he also balanced it with rest and recreation with our family. And when he was with us, he was there. He was present. He was engaged. It wasn't like he was somewhere back at the office. He was with us. I learned from that. You see, his Sabbath, his rest, refueled him to work with purpose and to contribute to his world. And that made an impact in my life. So much so that I adopted those very same practices and those principles, and I walk in them today. Now, here's the thing. If you hate the 6 days that you work, that's not work. That's just labor. And if you hate your job, that's a problem. It's not sustainable. Again, whether it's 5 days at work or working at home on your place where you live, maybe you need to take some time, if you can't stand what you do, and spend some solitude, some quiet time with the Lord. Maybe you need to fast. Maybe you need to pray like we're doing right now as a church. That you could hear from heaven and that you could discover how you can add value to your world and to the kingdom of God. Find out what it is that God's calling you to do that brings you life, to come alive with purpose. It improves the way you get up in the morning because it's something you look forward to, not something that you dread. You know, I have put a Sabbath in my life because I actually like what I do, right? I love coaching leaders. I love preaching. I love teaching God's word. I love engaging with our church community. What I do, I actually enjoy. Now, honestly, there's some administrative responsibilities I have that aren't always a party. They're not things that I necessarily get life from, but it's work. It's still part of my job. It's not something I hate. It's just part of the responsibilities that I carry, and that's fine. Some of those things, whether they're boring or not, they still have to be done. Now, let me tell you this, because if you hate working and you struggle maybe with laziness or lethargy, then maybe there's another issue underneath it all that you need to address. Maybe there's a root problem that you need to get help with, you need to talk to somebody with. Many people struggle with depression, and it's difficult to work or be productive in these times. But here's the good news. There are real answers to the real problems that you have in your life. Now, we live in a society today where sadly mom and dad get pulled into the workforce. And that's not always optimum. Because let me tell you this, raising children is one of the highest calls there is. And it is a full-time job and then some. But when both are being pulled, it's difficult to find that balance. You and I were designed to work from the beginning. We were designed to do what God has called us to do, but we were also designed to work. We were also designed in that balance to work and rest. There's a balance of the two. Now, let me give you some general guidelines for Sabbathing well. First thing that you need to do is you just need to unplug. Now, this is a hard discipline for many of us. Your coworkers shouldn't be able to reach you on your Sabbath unless it's an absolute emergency. Whether it's email or phone, sometimes you just need to unplug from all of that, at least a day of the week. Again, unless there's some kind of crazy emergency. But most times, whatever's going on, whatever people are trying to reach out to you for, can wait until the next day. The second guideline for Sabbathing well is to prepare. If you don't prepare to Sabbath, you will not Sabbath well. Our culture, man, it's always pushing work. It's like this badge of honor that people wear when they first connect with people. Right out of the gate, the way that people often define themselves is by what they do. And our culture has developed this unhealthy push for being somewhere else. You cannot be present and absent at the same time. And yet people are doing it every day. They're at home, they're even camping with their kids, or they're on vacation, but they're thinking about the office, they're thinking about that meeting, they're thinking about what they need to do next. And they're not being present in that moment. And so trying to achieve that is an impossibility. This rest principle is significant. Why do you think the Lord modeled it in creation and included Sabbath in the Ten Commandments? Remember Exodus 20, verse 8 to 11, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, talking about creation, which we've just read about. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. So when we ignore God's example and teaching in his word regarding the Sabbath and rest, Sometimes I think we think we're living higher than God in his ability. If God prioritized rest, I think we should prioritize rest too. We are definitely not above his understanding of it all. His ways always trump ours. The third thing that you need to do in Sabbathing well is to set boundaries, set healthy boundaries. People's lack of organization, whether it's your coworkers, your friends, or your family, their lack of organization shouldn't be your problem on your Sabbath. And let me tell you this, being reachable 24/7 is not healthy. You cannot sustain that. If you do that, you're going to take away from some of the priorities that God has given you. What does it profit you to reach and help everybody else and their families and lose your own? Make sure that what's happening at home is healthy first, so that out of that health, out of that health in your relationship with God, then your family, your marriage, your children, out of that healthy place, you can minister in a healthy way to other people. Now, general guidelines, listen, whatever your budget may be, if you have small children, every year take some time to vacation. It doesn't have to be extravagant. Doesn't have to be something that costs you an arm and a leg. Go camping. Whatever you need to do just to get away and to be with the people God has placed in your life, the people that you love the most. Vacation together. Rest together. Then take a separate vacation. Listen, husbands and wives, take a vacation together at least once a year. Again, doesn't have to be a trip around the world. It could just be a weekend away. Where the two of you spend some time resting well together. It's very important to keep dating one another. Don't stop that practice. The very practice that brought you together, keep it up so that you can stay together. Because when you start to lose step in that area, then things begin to drift. And you don't want things to drift. Figure out in your life the rhythms that help you stay sharp and healthy. As they say, an axe is only as good as it is sharp, and we see that in Scripture. Ecclesiastes 10:10, if your axe is dull and you don't sharpen it, you have to work harder to use it. It is smarter to plan ahead. It's smarter to plan ahead. Listen, you may be incredibly gifted. You may be incredibly talented. But I'm going to tell you right now that tired people do dumb things. They do. It's the truth. When you're tired, you are susceptible to temptation that normally would have been easy to defeat in a different season in your life, in a rested season. But when you're tired, when your batteries are run down, you start making poor decisions, and it affects everything in your life. And just like fasting, Sabbath is all about dependence. Dependence on God. Now listen to me in this regard, because if you underwork, then you are dependent on other people, which means somebody's got to pay the bills, right? So if you don't get out there and work, for those of you that are kids that are still living at home, your parents are taking care of you. But that can't go on forever. You've got to be able to get out there on your own. Now if you overwork, then you're dependent on yourself. Then you think, I don't need anybody. I don't need God because I got this all figured out. Now, neither one of those positions are positive, because what we all want and need is to be dependent on the Lord. I want to work hard for 6 days and then trust God as you, rest on the seventh. We need to have faith that He is our source. He is our provider. Not this job that I have, not in my employer. He is my source. So, question I often get when we talk about Sabbath is, what day should I Sabbath? What's the best day? Well, I like the way Paul says it in Romans chapter 14, verse 5. He said, one person esteems one day as better than the other, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. So here Paul is explaining that whether a person chooses to honor a specific day or treat all days alike, the focus should be on doing it to the Lord. Don't get sucked into this legalistic hole, because people have been doing that for generations. You know, it's hard to believe that there are entire denominations who center what they do around keeping Saturday as their Sabbath. That's become central to what they believe. Mark 2, verse 27 says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath.'" So Jesus explains the Sabbath's true intent was for the human benefit of rest, which only he can provide. Matthew 11, 28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and what? I will give you rest." He is our Sabbath, regardless of what day that we choose. And again, if he prioritized rest, then we should too. He didn't rest because he got tuckered out, you know, even in creation. He didn't work hard for 6 days. "Man, I gotta lay down. This is enough." No, he didn't stop because he was worn out. He stopped because he was modeling a discipline that the world needed to understand at the very beginning of the story. It's very important to know that when something is designed, even today, in a particular way, even though we don't want to read the instructions and understand how it's cared for or how it works, we will not get the extended life out of whatever it is that we've purchased if we don't understand it, if we don't understand the way it was designed. God designs you with purpose. And he also understood that work can also give you life when it's balanced properly with rest. Only God can provide rest for your soul. And that goes way beyond getting more sleep. You see, that's all about spiritual renewal. True Sabbath is when you enjoy time with God and time with the people that he's put in your life. See, you need to work well. You need to rest well. That's why Sunday, for so many people, is such a great day to rest, to stop, to cease from your labors, to spend time with God's people in worship, to prioritize the things in your life, so that as you step into a new week, you do so with your priorities in check. And then you're ready to work hard. You're ready to give your best, to work with excellence. He's designed you that way. But he's not designed you to work nonstop, never taking a break, sacrificing your love for your wife or your children or your husband, and throwing yourself headlong into accomplishing more. Now, some people hide in the fact to say, "Well, I'm providing for my family. I want to create a better life for them. I want to create a legacy of wealth that they can continue to benefit from." Well, that's a wonderful thing. But make sure that in doing so, you model for them what hard work looks like, what work with purpose looks like, what work with rest looks like. You can't fake that, because if you're not doing that in your life, you will reach a place of burnout. You need to find a balance, and that balance is found in the spiritual discipline of Sabbath, of rest. Now, service, another spiritual discipline closely connected to Sabbath. The spiritual discipline of service is the intentional, selfless practice of meeting other people's needs, acting out of love. This is where we mirror Jesus' example to cultivate humility, to cultivate compassion, And a closer connection with God himself. Loving others, as you know, is a key component to the mission of this church. Loving God, loving people, loving life. Loving people is what service and ministry is all about. We love God's people because God loves his people. And we want to love what he loves. We want to follow the example of Jesus as he washed the disciples' feet and demonstrated to them that real, true greatness comes through serving, not being served. John 13, 14 says, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet." So rest in me, he's saying, and do as I do. Serve other people. You know, serving others becomes an act of worship and an expression of our love to God. You know, over the past month, Susan and I have been practicing the disciplines of Sabbath and service as she recovers from hip replacement surgery just before Christmas, which we as a family have lovingly been calling Mary Hipmas. so we're glad to see what God is doing in her life, and we're thankful that the surgery went well. And despite a very busy time of the year, Pastor Susan has been forced into this place of rest and recovery. It's doctor's orders, right? These are the exercises. This is what the physio looks like. There is a regiment of things that you need to do. But being still for her, being still for you and I in this day and age is not an easy discipline at all. But in it, she discovered a whole new dimension of Sabbath in her Savior. As he brings about healing in her body and she grows stronger each and every day. And we appreciate all of you that have been praying for her and supporting her through this time. It's a wonderful thing. Now, for me, during this time, I kind of was put in a place of becoming the primary caregiver, right? So it was an incredibly busy time for me, both here at the church and at home and with her. Things need to keep moving along. People need to be cared for. I wanted to make sure that she was safe during this time. And so it was through this busyness that I learned a new depth of love for her in our relationship through service. And it was from a place of deeper connection, my own with Jesus, my Sabbath, that I was able to effectively serve. I hope that it was effective. You know, mind you, she was an incredible patient, when it comes to serving. But we were both learning these spiritual disciplines together. And we see through that time how these disciplines are connected, how one discipline actually fuels the other. That out of rest, out of Sabbath, out of that healthy place with God comes effective service to the world, where we live with purpose in all that we do. You know, God fills you up, and he fills me up during Sabbath. And what do? Well, you live a life of service, pouring your life out to others like Jesus did. He modeled it for us, and it's what we now do. So observing Sabbath in your life goes beyond a day of rest, because making it holy actually requires the rest of the week. My Sabbath allows me to serve the church and the world around me. Effective service flows from the one that you find rest in daily. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful today for the spiritual disciplines in our lives that help us to reflect who you are. I pray today that in my life and in all of us, that you would increase and we would decrease. Teach us these principles that, God, you modeled yourself of rest and its importance in our lives. Teach us that effective service and ministry flows from a place of balance, where we work hard, but we rest well. Today I pray for those that are struggling, perhaps in this area, whether it's finding a job that they find life and fulfillment in, or whether it's moving past the struggles that they're having personally. I pray today that as they talk to others, as they receive prayer, as they get the help that they need, that they would find themselves in this new year stepping into a healthy place. That as we have declared and believe that this year will be a year of miracles, I pray that in this regard it would be true. That husbands would love their wives, that wives would love their husbands, that parents would lead well with their children and serve well within their church and their community. Help us all to walk in a closer relationship with you so that we can be effective and live with purpose in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's best, Calvary. Have an amazing week. We look forward to seeing you again next Sunday.